Pat Callahan.
And I'm Joe Torti, and today on a Markdown Saturday edition of This Week in Pro Football.
It's the most wonderful time of the year to play NFC East teams as Dallas loses again and our leftover birds fly south.
Not a creature was stirring, nor a winning team in sight. A look at the discount bin known as the NFC East.
The crucible is over. Time to run the table, right, Carson? Doug? Anybody?
Some unbreakable passing records, Sal Pal on a Super Bowl preview, McCormick on first round bus, and the pick segment is 94% off right now on This Week in Pro Football.
This Week in Pro Football.
Don't make me suck.
This Week in Pro Football.
Even each other. Win on three. 1, 2, 3.
The hardest hitting football show in Philadelphia.
Guests.
Featuring weekly correspondent Sal Palantonio, taking you inside the Eagles and the entire NFL.
You come this far, you play with trust, you play with confidence, and you play physical.
It's This Week in Pro Football.
Are you ready for some football?
And now, Pat Callahan.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to week number 13. On This Week in Pro Football, 97.5, the Fanatic of the National Football League, live from the Sportsbook here at the Parks Casino in Bensalem, PA. It's already busy as hell up here, JT. And good morning, and Joey Torti, hope you have a nice Thanksgiving, pal.
Fantastic Thanksgiving, Pat. Thank you. I kind of rolled my way in here. I'm still, like, definitely more than a couple pounds heavier than I was before
Thanksgiving.
Looks
like you ballooned up to 135, so listen, hang in there. All right, just do your best.
I'll do what I can.
You'll lose it by the time the show's over, especially when we get to the pick segment. You lose that, so you might as well lose a couple pounds along with it.
That's just like 3 pounds of sweat leading up to the pick segment.
You're all decked out today? All decked out? I guess you got it. What do you got? Job interview later today? Or?
Yeah, I'm trying to find something to do on Saturday mornings between 9 and noon because you and Tyler Zuli did an outstanding job without me last week. So thanks for holding it down.
No show without Joey Torti, ladies and gentlemen. So it's nice to have everybody here. And we got 3 hours of action-packed football talk to get to, Joe, as we careen towards the playoffs and week number 17. We get to that, but before we get started, we have the usual suspects today. McCormick joins us to talk some fantasy. It's week 13, so right? This is it. This is fantasy time
This is right before the play, at least in my league.
Most
this is
leagues,
the last
this
week.
Is their last regular season game.
Right.
So we hope everybody wants to join in and talk some fantasy football then. We got Gary Cobb, of course. We got Sal Pal. Some assorted other reprobates will be joining us throughout the show. 610-632-0975. And Joey, how about a little social media?
Sure. On Twitter, it's at TWIPFPat to follow Pat Callahan. I'm at Joe Torti. Tyler Zuli producing the program is at Tyler Zuli.
All right. And, of course, I'll be hitting you with some trivia questions throughout the day, hoping to stump the band. So give us a call, 610-632-0975. You can tell from the open here that I'm very down on what used to be known as the NFC East. And it's just incredible. Let's talk some reactions, overreactions or reactions, whatever you guys want to do to Thanksgiving Day football. And first off, you can't let the discussion go without talking about the horrendous Detroit Lion uniforms. I don't know who designed those pajamas, but can we please, let's shelve them for all eternity. But just give me a sentence, gentlemen. Chicago 24, Detroit 20. Anything of note in that game?
Yeah, a noteworthy start for the Lions, stunningly. I watched the Kenny Galladay 75-yard touchdown reception. Yeah. I thought, a new day is dawning. And then, of course, the Fighting Mitchell Trubisky's were able to take care of business down the stretch. Yeah. Not a whole lot went right, except your boy led them on a game-winning come-from-behind drive.
If you let Mitchell T go 90 yards against you in the fourth quarter, then I don't know, Matt Patricia. Maybe you want to think long and hard about what you're doing. Yeah. God, Tyler, anything about that game?
Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway for me is it happens so many times for maybe just because we're watching all these games intently, but it seems to me every year the Eagles lose to bad teams at the wrong time. It's another example of a really bad team that the Eagles should have beaten earlier in the season. The Lions outright stink.
Yeah, there you go. You're right about that.
That's the truth.
Let me skip to the night game, which I didn't watch one play of. New Orleans 26, Atlanta 18. I knew New Orleans was going to win comfortably. Atlanta won those two games, and they looked like they had somehow righted their ship, and then they've lost twice and at home. And now New Orleans clinches the NFC South. Joey?
Well, the NFC South is kind of a mess to begin with, looking at the way the teams have fallen off and the obstacles that they face. But it was worthwhile to watch on Sunday night. You missed one team recovering two onside kicks in the same game. I mean, you're such a stickler for the historical notes and things like that.
I know, I did miss that.
You missed it.
You're right about that.
It's a bummer.
Yeah. Tyler?
I don't know. Can we copy and paste from the last answer with the Lions? But in reality, I'll tell you, whether you love him or you hate him and you hate the set, Taysom Hill is fun to watch, man. He plays so many different positions. It's so much fun to watch him
play. I do hate him.
Do you?
I do.
All right. Yeah,
there's something about him that annoys the hell out of me. Any type of fantasy guy who had your normal Saints going, watching him rumble into the end zone on that run must have just been... I mean, thank God I didn't have Drew Brees or Michael Thomas or anybody like that. You know, but there you go. So I think all the people who might have had Latavius Murray, right? I mean...
Oh, yeah. What was that, 4.5 fantasy points or whatever he ended up with?
Yes. All right, and then we get to the middle game, because this we can use to segue into one of our subject matters for this week, which is Buffalo goes down to Dallas and quite frankly, just beat them. They just beat them, right? In almost every facet, whether it was the Buffalo offense on the field or the Buffalo defense on the field, the Bills were clearly the better team throughout that game. And so I have to, you really now have to question what the hell is going on in the NFC East. I mean, Dallas... since we last talked, is 0-2. And they look terrible. And I here's my comment on the game. I don't want to steal anybody's thunder, but and I full disclosure, I am a Zeke Elliott fantasy owner, and I still have it. Shockingly, I still have a television because I should have thrown it out into the yard. they're way overdoing with Dak Prescott.
Sure.
You know, and it's it's not Zeke's team anymore. It's Dak's team. Well, good. You're 6-6. So how's that working out?
Well, and you look at all of the team, like, because people will point to Dak and say that he's leading the league in passing yards. And I'm like, look at who else is on that list. Jameis Winston's on that list. Matt Ryan's on that list. Phillip Rivers is on that list. There's no good quarterbacks. There's nobody who's playing really well who's at the top, or certainly not people who have good teams going. You've got the Cowboys who still haven't beaten a team that's over 500 yet this season. And the most interesting thing about the game, because the Bills just kind of suffocated the Cowboys the entire game, was me noticing, wow, Ellie Goulding's really, really bad live, and she's wearing a lampshade on her head during the halftime show. That was the thing that I noticed. Yeah. Like, that game was so uneventful. It was amazing.
And it was. And Dallas could not get Buffalo off the field. This is Buffalo we're talking about. I mean, that's not exactly Jim Kelly back there. God bless Josh Allen, but, I mean, come on. Every time, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 5, didn't matter. They could not get him off the field. And the third quarter, I mean, Dallas was out and out atrocious and ended up losing the game. And so, you got to ask yourself now, I mean, someone's going to win the NFC East, but I don't know. Maybe the Redskins can make a late run.
Yeah, Tyler. I was gonna say, nobody wants it. Go ahead, Tyler.
If you guys allow me a little bit of exaggeration, I'd be thrilled if the Cowboys offered Jason Garrett a 1,000-year contract, just because this seems to be the norm. They're right around that 500 mark, and they don't beat the teams that they need to beat to give themselves the edge come, the end of the season and come playoff time. The Cowboys are handing the Eagles this division, and the Eagles are handing it right back. It's ugly.
I don't know, but I do not see. I mean, we're going to talk about. We might as well, let's start talking about it now. Okay, we're at 610-632-0975, and what I'm going to offer to you two is okay. You take a look at the schedules going out, and you tell me, guys. You can both chime in here. The Eagles are going to win at Miami. I am telling you, I think the Eagles have a get right game tomorrow. I think they get right on Miami, and you know how mercurial this league is anymore from week to week. I think the Eagles get right tomorrow and blast Miami. And I think then you have, at that point, we're both 6-6, right?
Correct.
All right. Next Thursday, Dallas at Chicago. What do you say?
I still think that Dallas has a chance of winning that game, but I had it as a dead Dallas win before. Right. Now I don't.
Now it's a toss-up game.
Now I don't.
It's a toss-up game against Mitch Trubisky, for God's sake. The Eagles play the Giants at home on Monday night. They're not going to lose that game.
I don't know. How can we say that?
I know.
You know what I mean? How can we say that?
But I don't see it.
That's one that worries me, actually. The Giants one is something that worries, because you haven't seen Daniel Jones before.
The Cowboys then play the Rams at home. They're going to win that game. The Eagles are at Washington. They're going to win that game.
I think that's true.
Yeah, and then, of course, it's the week 16. They play each other, and there you go, right?
But yes.
I think by that time, the Eagles should be up a game. But I guess they would still need to win it, right? Because if they lose it, then Dallas has the tiebreaker.
Right, exactly. Dallas swept the season. So if you end up tied with Dallas at that point, they have the head-to-head tiebreak. Man, it is obviously anytime you make the playoffs, Pat, we saw that with the Eagles last year, and we saw it with some of the other teams that have won the Super Bowl in the past, but it just doesn't get the vibe that the NFC representative for the Super Bowl is coming out of the NFC East. It just doesn't really feel that way.
And here's the thing, and you and I have talked about it, I think, in previous years of this show, and I know I have with guys like Timmy Mack and all that stuff, is it is a certainty, Joe, that in the postseason, a 12-4 or 11-5 team is going to come to play on the road a 9-7 Dallas or Philadelphia, right? I mean, that's going to happen.
And well, of course, and people complain about it all the time, but the NFL tells you how to win. They tell you win your division, and that's the best way to do it. Like, so, you know, you can't put things in the hands of everybody else, and or else you run that risk of an 11-5, 12-4.
I agree with you. And that's the stance I've maintained, too, is it? It's just the way of it. It's an aberration. It happens sometimes. I would not legislate any change in that, you know, to say that you got to have a better record than the team you're playing in order to host the game. It's just the way of it. But I think it's, look at Seattle. I mean, Seattle's sitting at 9-2. And it's very likely they could end up 12-4 and come to Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's a really good chance. You think they'd be happy about that?
No, I do not think they'd be happy about that. But, I mean, that is, you could easily have a 12-4 wildcard team. And I tell you, Joe, you could have them in both conferences. Buffalo's sitting at 9-3. And they have no chance to win the division.
Well, let's ask about that. Are you a Buffalo believer at this point?
Well, I'm a believer they're going to make the playoffs, yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Sure they are. I mean, everybody else in that conference, if you look at it, is 6-5.
Yeah, I think Pittsburgh is the other wild card team.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right. And then you still have, who else do you have in that, conference?
Indy is there.
And
Tennessee
so is Tennessee.
There, right?
And then you have Oakland. I don't believe in the Raiders. I just don't. Are you drinking that Kool-Aid?
Not at all. Not even a little bit. I do like the job that John Gruden's done, though. I was very wrong about what that team would look like this year.
Man, they went into New York and got smashed by the Darnolds. I mean, they got
the
smashed. So, you know, that was a real setback. And then you look at the line for tomorrow, and Vegas does not like the Raiders.
I mean,
10-point number. A 7-4 team hosting a 6-5 team. They're a 10-point favorite.
And the Chiefs haven't been beating anybody up.
Well,
I think
I use the term get-right game for Philadelphia. I think Vegas is saying this is going to be the get-right game for Kansas City.
That's what the line tells you for sure. Now, you've been trying to reintegrate some injured players and things like that for KC, so it's possible that's why the results haven't been there in terms of blowing people out. Maybe that does happen tomorrow.
Yeah. 610-632-0975. Joey, give me some commentary on my take.
Well, Tyler does point out, though, that the Bills play the Ravens at the Steelers at New England and the Jets. So they're in the driver's seat for the playoffs now. But that's kind of a mini crucible.
Ravens and Patriots.
Yeah, you throw out the Steelers. But, like, the Jets? Jets have had the Bills' number.
Let's not lose our minds now over the Jets.
I love the Jets. I love them so much.
The Jets.
I love the articles in the New York Post talking about Sam Darnold going out and getting wasted and hooking up with people. Like, that's not what 22-year-olds
do. Yeah, I was going to say, he's 22 years old in New York City. I mean, let's relax a little bit. God, he should have been breaking down film, I guess.
They didn't mind it when Jeter was doing it.
That's true.
Nobody minded. Sorry, just saying. Anyway.
All right. Anyway, my case that Philadelphia will get right tomorrow, yay or nay?
Get right. I think that they will look right tomorrow. Let me say that. I think they will look fine.
I'll define get right as saying they're not going to win 17-16. By get right, I mean I think they go in and they put a 31-17 number or something like that on Miami.
I would need to see the Eagles do that to anyone before I have the feeling they would beat anybody by 2 touchdowns. I do think that things will get right, but for whatever reason, Miami just decides to show up or not sometimes during this last 5 weeks or so. So I don't think that I'm willing to say that it's going to be a full-on blowout. I don't think the Eagles are good enough to blow anybody out. I'd be pleased to see it.
Miami 2-9. They have that great home field edge. They're 1-5 at home. There'll be more Eagle fans there than Dolphin fans. Miami's given up 346 points in 11 games.
Yes.
All right, that's 30 points a game they're giving up, 31 points a game. And I just happened to say 31-17. I think this is, they're I'd have to say this. There's almost no excuse now. The Eagles are getting back Jeffrey. They're getting back Aguilar. I guess that's a good thing. They're getting those guys back. Lane Johnson healthy, right?
With a new contract.
Yes, yes. We're going to talk about that, too. All the dominoes, Joe, are lining up that Philadelphia should be able to come out tomorrow and dominate this game. What is preventing you from saying that they're going to do it?
Because I've seen this movie. You know, I felt the same way about the Atlanta game. I felt the same way about the Detroit game. Like, there were a lot of teams where I thought, yeah, this team's not very good, and the Eagles are better than this team. Now, they're not all trying to tank like the Dolphins are, but I don't think, for whatever it is, full-strength Eagles, I don't think that they're a good team. I don't think that they're a good enough team. I think that it's hard to blow out anybody in the NFL. I think there's only so many teams that can do it. I don't believe that the Eagles are a team that's going to blow people out. I don't think so. For whatever reason, I don't know.
But even tomorrow, though, your point, I understand your point perfectly, but they are, I mean, let's just do a little, you know, let's stipulate a little bit.
Okay.
Here. They are clearly superior to Miami talent-wise.
Yes.
Okay.
I agree.
And at quarterback, they have a totally scattershot quarterback in Ryan Fitz, who, and then I guess plays to your point, is that some Sundays, he's a real pain. You know,
yeah,
it could be a real pain. But other times, he's a turnover machine.
It's true.
So can't the Eagles' defense dictate that a little bit and kind of make him a turnover machine?
As far as I'm concerned, that is the matchup that determines the game. So if you allow him to not only protect the ball, but he's a dangerous running quarterback as well when it comes to scoring touchdowns and things like that, which, you know, some people look at it and they think that's the easiest way to score now in the NFL is to run the quarterback in the red zone. If the Eagles' defensive line in particular is able to pressure him and stop him from doing all of those things that we were just talking about, protecting the football and pressing downfield and extending plays, then yeah, I think that the Eagles have a really good chance of winning decisively. I just don't necessarily believe that that's going to happen, even though the Eagles' D-line has been coming on as of late.
I think there's psychology in play here. I've often talked about this on this program, is that the Eagles, you know, coming off another desultory effort against Seattle, where Seattle was just clearly better, right?
I thought so.
Yeah, Philadelphia.
I thought so.
And the score could have been worse, actually. And Wentz was really pressing. We're going to get to that, okay? But the psychology is, Joe, they're coming off a bad home loss. The best thing that could happen to you at that point is what? To get on the road.
Yeah, exactly. Get away from it.
Get away from it. And it's really good when you get on the road to play a team that's 2-9.
It's true.
You're right. I can't wait for next April or whenever the hell the NFL draft is. So, I mean, it's all set up for Philadelphia to just go out there and win the first quarter. I mean, we talked about this before, too. Tell Miami in the first quarter that just leave the cars running in the parking lot. Wait, this will be done soon. Don't let them get interested in winning.
True, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
But, of course, it's been a characteristic of this Eagles team that the first quarter is a big-time problem
in terms
of scoring points. So,
yeah.
I believe that if you constantly are playing on Miami's side of the field, even if you can't punch it in, if you're punting down to their two and then they're not able to get a first down, I think you can dictate to them in the first quarter without running up the score. I think that is possible, but if you're up 10 points on them in the first quarter, I don't think that they come back or at least give you the effort that you'd expect from a team playing an NFL game. But I just think that 9 points on the road, so I feel like that's a lot of points.
That was a daunting number. It was daunting, but I mean, because I'm sitting here saying that they're going to
31-17. Yeah,
cover it. You know,
you feel good. Yeah.
Well, you know, but in terms of betting the game, you know, Fitz is. He's a notorious backdoor cover guy, too.
Oh, he lives
for it.
You
see that with 3 seconds to go. He hits Devontae Parker for a touchdown.
To cut it to 10.
Yeah, it's 31-23. So you're right about that.
It's a modern-day Carson Palmer.
But, I mean, this is enough now. It's enough. The NFC East just is atrocious. Somebody has to step up and say, I'm going to take ownership of this division. You know, Dallas had a chance to do it Thursday. They were the inferior team at home to the Buffalo Bills, for God's sake. If Philadelphia now has a chance, they have a chance that they're going to only tie Dallas in the standings. But I mean, they clearly have the far easier schedule, and it's got to start tomorrow. I mean, enough's enough, Doug. It's got to start tomorrow.
I still think it's fascinating about the Cowboys. You talk about how good their defense is, blah blah blah. They still haven't won a game where they've scored fewer than 30 points.
That's right.
That's crazy.
And they've not beaten a team with a winning record.
Yep.
I mean,
other than that, Dallas is great.
That's right. That's enough. Enough with this Dak. I mean, Prescott. He's having a good year. I don't deny that. And we're going to talk. I'm going to talk about that too with you and with Sal. Maybe is you know, given the buyer's remorse that is evident in this town, and forget it, in Los Angeles, right? And,
yes.
And towns like Oakland, they're paying Derek Carr a fortune. In Oakland, there's a litany of them, right? What does Dallas do? What does Dallas do with this guy? I mean, there is. You can make a credible case that he's not a $30+ million guy, right?
I think you can make that case for a lot of quarterbacks who are making
that's
that
correct.
Money.
So yeah, but then so does that mean then you're obligated to throw it at him?
Well, it's going to take a brave person that we've discussed. No. To say no in the face of that. Let somebody else make a $30 million investment.
I know. It's a fascinating thing. And I want to get into that more, you know, throughout this program is, you know, just that Jerry Jones, man, he's one angry man.
Yeah,
right,
he looked
now.
Happy, he didn't he?
He's one angry man.
Addressing the media after
the
game.
He was fuming after the New England game. And then his Thanksgiving, never mind that, what happens Thursday. He's at his wit's end with his coach.
Well, there's a whole different feel to thinking that you've got a chance against New England, right? And expressing your disappointment afterwards about what went wrong in that game versus the Bills at home on Thanksgiving, which is like the most Dallas Cowboys thing that you could possibly have, all that combination, and just kind of laying an egg in the most watched game for CBS since like the Super Bowl. It's amazing.
I know.
And then put up 15 points. Not good. Not good at all for the Dallas Cowboys. So and it's an opportunity for the Birds.
The 15, right? They scored the last TD of the game. It wasn't a 26-7. Yeah. They get a touchdown and a two-point conversion, none of which goes to Zeke, of course. And they just looked like, man, the NFC East has really got some work. Is there any question that it's the worst division in football?
Oh, no, it's definitely the worst. It's definitely the worst division in football. And the stats bear that out when you look at the wins and losses in total in the division versus the second closest division. It's not even close.
I mean, there's no other division in football that has no winning teams in it. That's usually a good immediate sign that your division is really not that good when there's not one team with a winning record. It's atrocious.
Well, we crushed the AFC East.
Yeah.
I would like head-to-head the Bills against the Cowboys, obviously. I'm not convinced that I like the Eagles head-to-head against the Jets now with healthy Sam Darnold. They beat the Bills and the Jets this year. I don't know if they could do that again. You know what I mean? Like, we're talking about divisions that you typically call terrible. Looking pretty good, actually.
The Eagles, Giants, and Redskins are a combined 6-17 against the rest of the NFC. Boy, that's...
It's great. It's really, really good for playoffs.
That's what I'm saying. Is it one of those? It's possible the Eagles make it, and they certainly have not demonstrated as far as their regular season that they're worth playing any other team in the NFC in the playoffs. And it just would be something to see a 12-4 Seattle team come here to play a 9-7 Philadelphia team. And yet, Joe, you've seen it before, right?
Where, oh yeah,
the 9-7 team puts a good game together. Seattle did it when they were 7-9 and knocked an 11-5 New Orleans team out of the playoffs.
Yeah, that was fun. That was the earthquake game.
Yeah.
Marshawn Lynch.
Right.
That was kind of the advent of the Seattle dynasty. But so you said 6-17, and haven't Washington and New York played each other too?
Yeah.
So one of those wins was against themselves. Really, really good stuff.
All right. Anyway, I think it's a get right. Let's talk more about that, I guess, on the other side. Let's get going here. 610-632-0975. And Joey T, I got many other things I want to talk with you about besides the NFC East. And I want to talk about let's get into a little playoff picture in both conferences.
He's Pat Callahan. I'm Joe Torti. We are keeping you entertained here from the fabulous brand new sports book here at Parks Casino, Off Street Road in Bensalem. Tyler Zuli is producing. We're bringing you all of the action right here. It's This Week in Pro Football on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right. Callahan, it's already back. I don't hear any music, do you?
It's very faint.
Oh, there it is.
It's coming in.
I can hear it now. Thank you very much.
Bring in the beat.
All right, come on. Let's go. Hey, come on. I got to have my NFL. I got to have my bed music here. All right?
Yes.
Anyway, welcome back to This Week in Pro Football, 97.5 The Fanatic. Callahan and Torty here this week in Pro Football. Joey T, we're trying to set the table here for somebody to check in with us, 610-632-0975. I say it's a get-right game. I think Philadelphia's going to win big tomorrow. Joey T being a little more circumspect as he is, so he can tell you, I told you so a week late.
Well, that's the thing. If you never go out on any kind of limbs, you never fall, you know? But I do want to ask you about something really quickly before we move on from Thanksgiving entirely.
Okay.
You had something on the agenda that jumped out to me. Should the NFL rotate its Turkey Day home teams?
I do want to, we could touch on that.
Just touch it,
thank you. Thank you. Well, I don't know. What do you think about that? I mean, it's been Detroit forever. It's been Detroit for almost 80 years, or 70 years anyway. Dallas, of course, had to elbow their way in the 70s because Tech Tram, why not us? We're America's team. So they got in. Well, and the third game is always rotated. And I think, quite frankly, Joe, by Thursday night, everybody's sick of it anyway. That's just my opinion. But should the NFL rotate teams in and out of the two earlier slots on Thanksgiving Day?
Absolutely not. There's no prayer that they should rotate this out. Right. This is one of the things that makes the NFL on Thanksgiving what it is. There's a peace and familiarity to gathering everybody together and knowing that you're going to watch one mediocre team and one garbage team every single year. And that's there's something comforting, calming about that.
But, I mean, tell me, you think there'd be an uprising or some sort of groundswell of complaint if the Detroit Lions were no longer on Thanksgiving Day? Come on. I mean, everybody's like, who's Detroit losing to this year, right?
Right. Well, but I mean, that is the table setter. You know, it's something that, like, as you're casually, you know, figuring out whether you want sausage in your stuffing and things like that, right? You're looking over. What are they down by? 8? All right, cool. And, you know, you just check in with them.
The answer to that question is yes. Yeah. Okay, just so you know. But, I mean, I'm very much a traditionalist, so, you know, I'm torn about that. But I think I don't mind Dallas being on. Dallas is usually a good game. Dallas is usually good. I think not a bad pivot spot for a Thanksgiving Day game. But Detroit, how about if you just took two teams? If you just rotated every other year and you took an AFC team instead of Detroit, maybe every other year you had, the Chiefs on air, say, right?
Uh-huh.
Thanksgiving. Wouldn't that be some sort of a solution?
It probably would be a solution. But like I said, the traditionalist in me, like you said, would people complain about it? It would be me and like 6 other people complaining that the Lions got kicked out of their spot there. But I don't know. To me, it's like, you know, should we think of something other than fireworks for the 4th of July? Should we, you know, for the Thanksgiving Day parade, should we like not have floats? Should we instead have like, I don't know, people dressed up as piñatas or something like that? Like, I just don't know why messing with things would have to happen just because the Lions are bad. I don't know.
They're always bad. I mean, they're always bad.
Well, duh.
When are they ever going to be any good?
People still love the Cubs, and they were bad forever, you know?
Detroit lost last year to, is that right? Detroit played Chicago last year, too. And lost them. What are we doing here with this Bears-Lions business? The year before that, they lost to Minnesota. The year before that, they actually won. They beat Minnesota.
Okay.
And actually, now that I'm looking at it, I'm totally wrong. From 2013, 14, 15, and 16, Detroit won. So, I don't know.
It's one of the games that they win.
I'd like to check, I'd like to see what the ratings are for that earlier game. And how much do the ratings spike from the early Detroit game to the Dallas game? I bet you the Dallas game gets a much higher number.
Well, they said that the Dallas-Bills game was an unbelievably highly watched game. Yeah. Tyler, where do you come down on this quickly?
Yeah, I actually like watching the Lions on Thanksgiving every year. And listen, I know that I'm about to turn 13 years old, so I don't have a large sample size to go off of, but the Lions are actually only 10-15 in my lifetime, and there's something about watching the Lions lose as I get ready for Thanksgiving. It kind of brings a little joy to me.
That's what I'm saying.
Except for when they beat Mark Sanchez by 7,000.
Oh, that was horrible. I remember that.
But yeah, that was not good.
But, I mean, that doesn't mean that if another team was on there, you guys wouldn't be just as giddy. I mean, you know what I mean? I don't think it's the Lions. I think it's Thanksgiving Day. There's an NFL game on at 12:30. I don't think it's the fact that it's the Lions. I don't.
All right, let's put the Browns in then. See how excited people are for that.
Okay. Well, we can do that. another word about the NFC playoff picture.
Yes.
Do you think, I mean, at this point, is it over, Joe? Other than seeding, I mean, no NFC East team's going to be a wild card. The Rams are not going to be a wild card. So, I mean, we're done here, aren't we?
I think the field is pretty much set.
5 weeks to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not good. You know what I mean? That's not good for interest. Or, I mean, all you're worried about now is how the deck chairs on the Titanic are going to be laid out.
That's true. But I guess, so there's the fantasy element that'll get you through. Nobody watches week 17 anyway, right? We're working backwards. 15 and 16 are usually the finals of fantasy football, so you've got that there. And then people are always going to be excited about playoff football. So I'm with you, like, sitting here week 13, having a lot of this stuff already settled, isn't the most exciting thing in the world. But, I mean, you look at the Niners and Seahawks, they're going to be battling it out. I think it's interesting to see who might have to go on the road there.
It's going to be, I tell you, Sean Payton's going to have his work cut out for him because, I mean, you got five games to keep your team interested. You've already clinched a, really, you haven't clinched a bye yet. See, that's what he can do. Because, you know, the NFC North team is still very much in that a two-seed race, you know, because you got both Minnesota, Green Bay are sitting, what, at
8-3.
8-3, right. So, I mean, yeah, they're right there with the Saints. So, there'll be a lot still to play for, but it's going to be a long slog for New Orleans to stay 100% focused with five games yet to go. So, I think a little bit's off. In the AFC, I think you still got a big battle for that last playoff spot. I think Buffalo's in, and it's just going to be a big fight for that number six seed, which really doesn't mean a damn thing.
Right?
whoever it is going to lose their first game. So, I don't know. It's interesting. But now I want to turn our attention here. We got a couple minutes in this segment is about our boy Carson Wentz, right? He's been the talk of the town this week. And I know we've all heard 8 million words about it. I'm just going to offer you that I don't think he's a problem. I don't. Is there buyer's remorse in Philadelphia right now about the money we paid this guy? I guess the answer to that is yes, right?
Well, I think some people have buyer's remorse now, but I think if we're all honest with ourselves, looking with the information that you had at the time, that was the only move. The only move was to sign him. Before Dak and Russell Wilson and all of these other guys, Jared Goff, kind of reset the market. So you got Carson Wentz, I wouldn't call it at a discount, but at less than you could have potentially paid had you waited. Now, obviously, hindsight is 20/20. He has not played like a top four quarterback in the NFL, so the contract is kind of tough at the moment. Buyer's remorse, I think it's fair to have, but I still think it was a move that you had to make to begin with.
Well, they didn't have to make it, right? I mean, what they did was what the Rams did. They figured, let's get a year ahead of this because there's going to be another 10 or 11% increase. There's the thing you were talking about. The guy pulled the chain right off the...
Right off the... the chain gang guy broke the chain.
They figured we're going to save 10, 11% because that's going to go up that much again in a year, so let's get in front of that, right? But I think there is some buyer's remorse in Philly about this, but I do believe this guy is still a top-flight NFL quarterback, and I think he's been more victimized by the incredible injuries and bad play of his wide receivers, even before they got hurt. He's been victimized by that. My buddy Dan Orlovsky laid it out as to the way those second-tier receivers were letting him down last week against Seattle. And now he gets more of his offensive linebacker. I do think this guy is the long-term answer. And I think Philly fans can calm down because this guy, he will be a top-flight NFL quarterback for a number of years.
Well, the only hesitation that I have, Pat, is that I wonder if these conversations also happen about Marcus Mariota when he impressed early on. Jared Goff, obviously, is his classmate. Jameis Winston. Like, there are a lot of quarterbacks who looked pretty good early on, took a step back, and then didn't really take that step forward. I don't think that Carson Wentz is the problem either, but I think to say that he's not a problem with the season is kind of minimizing the impact that he's had overall.
Okay, that's fair enough. I want to let's get into it. I just want to offer a couple other comments about it. We could talk about that. We got Cobb. I'm going to ask Gary about it when he comes up at the top of the hour.
610-632-0975. He's Pat Callahan. I'm Joe Torti. We are live from Parks Casino and Sportsbook right here on This Week in Pro Football on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, Callahan and Torti back here this week in pro football. 97.5 The Fanatic, the National Football League. 610-632-0975. Joey T and I looking forward to some of these games here. The Evansville Purple Aces against the IUPUI Jaguars. Who do you like in that one?
Evansville beat Kentucky, so I'm going to go ahead and take Evansville, I
think. Here's my best one. I love this. The IPFW Mastodons. I mean, you can't have a better nickname than that.
You can't unless you're the Grand Canyon Antelopes. I mean, that's pretty good.
Mastodons and Antelopes tonight.
So I played this game with my dad, college mascot names. I have learned so much more being here at Parks Casino Sportsbook watching these tick off. It's pretty amazing. True.
And the Whitman Missionaries against the Colorado College Tigers. That does not sound like a good matchup. The Missionaries against the Tigers. That could be trouble.
Yeah, the mascot battle.
Could be bloody.
Yeah. That could be one-sided.
All right, listen. I want to get back to this deal here with Carson. I don't want to beat it to death. I know that. And by the way, birds are best on Twitter saying, last year offseason, Wentz was off training on his own. Lots of talk preseason about how slim he looked, et cetera, et cetera. Does that have anything to do with his performance? The fact that he was down in, I guess it was Houston, wasn't it? I don't know. But, I mean, does that mean anything?
I think so. I think it does matter when these guys train on their own, because you can't simulate, one, the accountability factor that you have to your strength and conditioning coach and to your team and things like that. But also just, like, the fact that you don't have anybody watching you, trying to push you to be better, faster, stronger. I think it does matter. Anytime I hear that these guys are training on their own, I'm like, oh, okay, great. That in no way simulates what you're doing in the NFL.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It's a fair comment. And then our loyal listener, BevHead29, he took issue with my comment the Eagles could get right tomorrow, saying, how do you get right against a JV team? But, I mean, my answer is you just get right. I mean,
how do you
I
not?
Think,
yeah.
Well, the point is, his point, of course, is you think you maybe got right, and then next week you're going to find out. Well, the Eagles aren't going to find out because they're going to keep playing these teams. And meanwhile, though, I mean, it's a lot of psychology. You reinstill some sort of a winning or a confidence that says, we are going to complete that next pass, unlike what the Eagles are thinking about now.
Right, exactly, where you're trying to just survive on a drive-by-drive basis. I think that your point is valid in that, there's something to be said for, you know, who were you playing against? But you can ask that question about a lot of the people that the Eagles are playing up until that Dallas game and then afterwards as well.
All right, 610-632-0975. Joey, the other thing is that, this whole business with quarterbacks, all right, did the Eagles make a mistake? Are they overpaying Wentz? I mean, as you point out, every quarterback's going to be basically overpaid now unless somebody has the guts to stand up and say, no. I'm just going to keep finding this guy for 4 years and then send him down a road. I mean, that's somebody, I guess, is going to do that, Joe, but I don't know who the next one's going to be. It ain't going to be the Ravens. You know what I mean? Does this give you any thought? Like, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and Phillip Rivers have been in the NFL for a combined 50 years, right? You know how many Super Bowls they've won?
Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Two is the
number. Two out of a combined 50 years, three quarterbacks that are routinely lionized as being amongst the best in the game. So, I mean, what's the bar here? You know, if you want to be a terrific, what I'm saying is Wentz, I think, is going to be a terrific quarterback year in and year out. Is that the bar you want? Or are you demanding a Lombardi trophy? If you're going to demand it of Wentz, well, then who else? Who's out playing? Who's out playing him in terms of that hardware?
Well, and we talked
about... Except for one guy, of course.
Well, and the one guy is such an outlier anomaly because of the coach situation, because of everything else, right? But, like, I've talked about building the race car or finding the race car driver. That's what I've always equated things to. And I do think that in a salary cap league, building the race car is way better. Having a team that is set up that literally you find some game manager who spent his entire career at Alabama or LSU, not this year's quarterbacks, but in the past, just not messing things up on a really, really good team, and have him come into the NFL and just not mess things up. I think that that is something that is a long-term sustainable strategy for winning.
That gets you to January. What you just described is the old, what I used to call the Andy Reid theory, where the Eagles would, you know, they were always good enough to go 11-5, 12-4 and get to January, and then they just didn't have it when the, you know, when it came time to the for the real crucible. What I'm saying about Wentz is he is that guy who can do what you just described. I think he is, but I think he's good enough to take you into February. I do.
Sure.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when I use those other quarterbacks as an example because there's no one else out there who's doing what he's not doing. Yes, he's having a rough go of it this year, but I think there's enough evidence that says that, you know, their wide receiver play has been way off. Nobody argues that. And now they've been doubled down with injuries. The offensive line has been beset with injuries. He's now lost his bell cow running back for 3 weeks in a row, probably again tomorrow. I think there's enough there to say that you give Wentz at least somewhat of a pass on what's gone wrong this season.
I give him a pass on those things. But for the accuracy issues and missing, you know, for example, the Mac Hollins one is the one that I keep pointing to in the Patriots game where you had Mac Hollins on an out and up for a touchdown. And you can't miss that one. Like, there are several that he has missed. Now, Nelson Agholor has been a net negative on the team. Alshon Jeffrey looks like he can't play anymore either. Like, there are some other issues at hand. I'm willing to grant that to Carson Wentz. But I do think that oftentimes his responsibility and his role in what's going wrong with the Eagles has kind of gone sideways because Aaron Rodgers has had worse wide receiver play than this in the past. I mean, when Jordy Nelson got hurt like 3 years ago, he had like no one else to throw the ball to, and they still managed to do something. Now, it wasn't anything all that exciting. But, I mean, if you are honest with yourself, you look at the quality of quarterbacks in the NFL, and you don't think that Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson or Lamar Jackson could do more than what Wentz has done given these circumstances, like, I don't agree with that idea.
I don't know. Who's number one? You know who's tops in the NFL in quarterback rating right now?
In quarterback rating?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
How about Kirk Cousins?
Okay.
Now, I mean, 3-4 months ago at the start of the season.
Yeah.
But you have said, man, I wish the Eagles would swap Wentz for Cousins.
No. No, I wouldn't have said that.
You know, I don't want to get bogged down, you know, on stats. I mean, even though, of course, even a guy like Dak. I mean, God, we just got done a month where Dak Prescott was the greatest quarterback in NFL history. You know, I mean, that's all we heard. He's lighting it up. He's this. He's that. He's this. That. They're 6-6.
Right.
You know, so what? You know, I think Wentz does have enough intangibles. I really do. He's got enough intangibles. He's a strong guy, tall. He can see over the pocket. He stands in there. I think his biggest issue, Tim McManus talked about it again on ESPN.com, and I've said it forever, is he tries too hard to make the big play.
Sure.
You know, and he's not good enough at the checkdowns. But, I mean, that's fixable, isn't it?
I don't know. Can you point to somebody who has had that issue and has gotten it fixed? You know, like, there are guys like Phillip Rivers who never kind of learned that skill,
God.
Right? Like, there are guys...
I know.
Like, Ben Roethlisberger's gotten okay at it, I guess.
7 picks in 2 weeks. Can you imagine?
What a nightmare. He's got as many picks as he has kids.
He literally threw the Chargers out of the playoffs.
Is that amazing?
Yeah.
They were right there.
Yeah.
And they had Melvin Gordon back. They were starting to get healthy. Yeah.
I know.
That's tough. That story might be over.
I'm just not going to buy. I'm not agreeing that there should be buyer's remorse on this guy. And to me, the most telling stat, Joe, is what I just rattled off, that these top-line, top-notch NFL quarterbacks, other than that guy up in Foxborough, none of them are, you know, are hoisting hardware multiple times come February, right? So it depends upon what your measuring stick is. You said, you know, you want the guy who's going to be the, well, use the term game manager, the guy who's going to get you to January. Well, I think he's more than capable of doing that. And I don't think there's an excess of guys who have demonstrated they could do more than that anyway.
Well, I guess the question that's going to get you as we head into break is, you pointed out Tom Brady, and he's the only one who's done all of that, but how many guys has he prevented from doing that because of all of the Super Bowl trips that he's made.
That's a fair. He's, you know, you're right. There is a there that roadside is littered
with
the corpses of quarterbacks who really couldn't hoist. You're right about that. But I think Wentz certainly could be one of those guys if that means anything.
Could he be one of the guys who takes the Eagles to the Super Bowl? 610-632-0975. Plenty more action coming your way. It's Pat Callahan and Joe Torti on This Week in Pro Football.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.